We will begin our study of John chapter 8 today. It is also a long chapter, so we will cover it in 2 weeks. I continue to encourage you to find key verses as you read through each chapter. I have chosen several from chapter 8. Two of these verses are 12 and 36. In verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." In verse 36, he said, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Both of these are powerful and well-known verses that are prominent in John chapter 8. As we found in John chapter 7, much of chapter 8 is a dialogue between Jesus and people who were attacking him and trying to kill him. Many heard Jesus' words but did not receive them or believe him because they were hard-hearted. We must have a soft heart to hear and understand what God is saying to us. That is why I want to encourage everyone to prepare our hearts to hear the word of the Lord today. Hebrews chapters 3 and 4 repeat this challenge a few times. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you that by your cross and shed blood, we can come freely into your presence with confidence. Give us a soft heart to hear your words today, and may the glory of Christ be revealed through the sharing of his word. So Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, John 8, 1-11. We will look at the story of Jesus and the woman caught in adultery, found in the first 11 chapters of John 8. However, I will begin with a statement that will probably shock you. This passage is not in the original manuscripts, and therefore we need to understand that it is not part of the inspired Word of God. Often, liberal scholars question and try to deny that many passages in the Bible were part of their original writing. However, in this case, almost all conservative scholars agree that John 8, 1-11 was not part of John's original gospel, but was added later. This story was inserted into various gospel narratives besides John 8, 1-11 in multiple manuscripts. It is also significant that before the 4th century, none of the early church fathers commented on this story. In other words, this story was not recognized as part of the New Testament scriptures during the first 400 years of church history. I will read what a couple of theologians have written about this passage. This passage, then, was most likely not part of the original text of John's gospel, yet beyond doubt, an authentic fragment of apostolic tradition that describes an actual historical event from Christ's life. It contains no teaching that contradicts the rest of Scripture. The picture it paints of the wise, loving, forgiving Savior is consistent with the Bible's portrait of Jesus, nor is it the kind of story the early church would have made up about him. Bruce Metzger, the text of the New Testament. I will also read the words of another scholar about this passage. This story was most likely a piece of oral tradition that circulated in parts of the Western Church. Most of the limited early support for its authenticity comes from the Western manuscripts and versions and from Western Church fathers such as Jerome, Ambrose, and Augustine. Eventually, it was written down and found its way into later manuscripts. This passage is not primarily the story of an adulteress or of the hypocritical religious leaders who cynically used her to attack Jesus. The central figure of this gripping drama of immorality, hypocrisy, and forgiveness, as in all of John's gospel, is the Lord Jesus Christ, from the MacArthur Commentary. So it is clear that the account of the woman caught in adultery is not part of John's original writing. However, it is most likely a true story preserved through oral tradition and eventually added to John's gospel. Therefore, we should not consider this passage part of God's authoritative written word. However, we can learn from the story and confirm its teaching about Jesus from other parts of the Bible. I don't want to disappoint people who love this story. However, we must be very careful to distinguish between what is the Word of God and what is not. So let's look at this story. It actually begins in John 7:53. It says, everyone went to his own house, and then chapter 8, verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, verse 2. Now very early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman taken in adultery. Having set her in the middle, they told him, teacher, we found this woman in adultery, in the very act. Now in our law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What then do you say about her? They said this, testing him, that they might have something to accuse him of. So how do you think this woman felt when she was caught in the act of adultery and put in front of Jesus and all of these people? Surely this woman felt embarrassed, afraid, ashamed, and guilty. She was caught in the act of adultery. There is no explanation for why the man was not there to face the death penalty with this woman. It says in verse 6, they were testing Jesus to find something to accuse him of. It was a trap. They said that according to the law of Moses, this woman must be stoned, but added, what do you say? If Jesus said we should have mercy and not stone her, he would be going against the law of Moses. If he said to stone her, he would be contradicting his own teaching about mercy and forgiveness. Verse 6, it says, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he looked up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Verse 9, they, when they had heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning from the oldest to the last. Jesus was left alone with the woman where she was in the middle. Jesus, standing up, saw her and said, woman, where are your accusers? Did no one condemn you? She said, no one, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go your way. From now on, sin no more. So why did they leave? Jesus stooped down, began writing with his finger. It does not say what Jesus was writing. Perhaps he was writing down the sins of those who had accused the woman. They continued to push Jesus for an answer. He said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone at her. Verse 9 says they were convicted by their conscience and went away one by one, beginning with the oldest. They had accused the woman and demanded that she be stoned to death. After Jesus said one sentence, their hearts were convicted of their own sins. They knew they were no better than the woman and left without even picking up a stone to cast at her. What does this passage teach about Jesus' heart for people who have sinned? Jesus demands righteousness, but he is merciful and forgiving, just like it says of God in Psalm 103, starting with verse 10. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as east is from west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7, it is written, the Lord is compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. God is full of love and mercy. The cross reflects God's righteousness, and it reflects his love and mercy. Jesus took the punishment of our sins as required by the law. Jesus went to the cross because of God's mercy and love for us so that our sins could be forgiven and so we could live righteously through our love relationship with him. The story of the woman caught in adultery is also our story. We were accused and guilty because of our sins. We have disobeyed God's laws so many times. We were guilty and ashamed standing before Jesus. But he said, I do not condemn you because I have taken your judgment on the cross. In spite of our sins, he has no stone to cast at us as far as east is from the west. So far, he has removed our sins from us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you that you took the punishment and judgment we deserve for our sins. Thank you that you have forgiven our sins through the cross of Jesus. Your word says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Thank you that you love sinful people and offer them the free gift of forgiveness and eternal life through the grace of the cross. Amen.